This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Happy Friday, everybody. August 14th, 2015, or if you're waking up on Saturday morning, the 15th, glad you are having your morning cup of Java with us. Are you a coffee drinker,
Mr. Nope, Pillar? Never had a coffee in my life, Jim.
Wait, you've never had?
Never. I've probably tasted it two or three times, like a taste. But Jim, I don't like warm beverages. I don't drink hot tea. I don't drink hot chocolate. I don't drink coffee. I don't drink any of those things. So when you know, as an educator, you get the parents are so kind and the kids are so kind, and you get the Starbucks gift cards. Generally, I use those either to buy a New York Times or they have wonderful snacks and pastry type things over there,
right,
at the Starbucks, and that's what I have. But no, I don't do warm beverages at all. I like soup broth. That's about the only thing I'll drink after I'm done with my soup.
Joe, what do you think? To self. Yeah. All right. Well, we have a packed show tonight, Mr. Pillar. We've got a first-time guest who I think will do quite well with us. Vicki Pierce is the executive director of the Community Kitchen of Monroe County. We'll be talking with her in just a few minutes about everything regarding the Community Kitchen, what they do on the basic side, but also donations. We'll talk about the Backpack Buddies program for kids as well. So lots of good stuff with her.
Yeah, looking forward to this one.
And I indoctrinated her a little bit in her coming on the show, because my notes from last week with Indiana State Police Trooper Kent Rolfing had an article from the Herald Times about meth, and I forgot to delete that from the update that I sent to Vicki earlier this week.
Well, so let's see what Vicki knows about meth. I think that'll be fine.
We might be asking her about that, but that's all right. School still going well?
We are 2 weeks in, Jim. Time is just flying. We had open house last night for lots of our wonderful parents at Jackson Creek. Made it out last night, and it's and we appreciate that. All of our open houses for MCCSC, you can find it at mccsc.edu. A lot of the schools have already had a couple, but there's still more to go. But with the weather being so beautiful, it's great to get the attendance that we get at these things. It's pretty phenomenal.
And no snow days yet?
Not yet. No fog either, though. No two-hour delay fog delays yet.
I think there's something about August and fog, some old wives' tale or something, that's supposed to be the number of snows or something. But
interesting.
I may be way off on that. Talking a moment ago about Kent Rolfing, had a lot of positive feedback.
Absolutely.
About the show.
It was a great show.
Very good, very well spoken, and knowledgeable about what he was talking about with not only methamphetamine but all the other drugs as well. It's up on the WGCL website, wgclradio.com. So go over there, click on the Bloomington Review page. It's the most recent post up there, and you can catch up on all the other shows as well. But yeah, we've got some nice shows lately.
Well, Jim,
what's happened.
You've been hitting it hard.
I don't know.
Our 11 listeners have been demanding more, and we're giving it to them.
Well, next week we're going to be giving them the short show Friday.
Well, yeah.
Because we get into high school football next week.
Yeah. Big news I hear about the show coming up for our listeners. We're not going to ruin that
surprise
yet.
But
we're not going to ruin that yet.
No, if all goes according to plan, I'm counting on Rob and the other Jim from WGCL to come through on a couple of things.
The other Jim. So you're the Minister of Culture and he's the other Jim?
I don't know what else to call him.
Well, I like it.
He's just...
Yeah, Rob's the man. He's the chairman of the board. I don't know if, Rob, you knew that, but when Keith and I were doing the show over the winter, we indoctrinated it. Rob needed a nickname. He wanted a nickname, and so he's back there behind the control panel. He looks like he's trying to land a spaceship with that thing. You think Glass is kidding, but when you're behind that control panel, it looks like you're trying to put a craft on the moon, and Rob is, without a question, the chairman of the board.
Oh, and I'm sure he is glad to not have to work mornings anymore now that Glass is back.
I guarantee you that.
We are going to take a break. When we come back, we'll give you some local forecast as well as local news. Monroe County is part of 53 counties that has some disaster relief coming this way. Also, last weekend was the big Dancing with the Celebrities function, the event at the Buskirk Chumley. A little bit about that.
And also, we will always remind people that they can go to YouTube, search Jim Inman, Bloomington Dancing with the Celebrities, and you will see a salsa that would make any Mexican restaurant in this town just envious.
No, there was no sombrero involved whatsoever. Vicki Pierce, just a little bit, then when we get to sports, this weekend, first Colts game, brother.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll talk a little bit about the preseason there and all that good stuff. Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview, and of course, WGCLRadio.com. We're streaming there 24/7. Check it out. We'll be back with your forecast and some local news here on The Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman and David Pillar with you on your Friday night, Saturday morning, whatever the case may be, or if you're catching the podcast, glad that you are dialed in on your WGCLradio.com. Forecast for the weekend, Mr. Pillar.
Jim, it's been a great week.
It has.
It's been a beautiful week, as a matter of fact, today. We enjoyed another nice day tonight, partly cloudy. It'll get down to 64, so I'd say leave the windows open and get some air in there. Perfect weekend. I feel like I'm doing the weather in Vegas for a change now. sunny and no precipitation in the forecast, not high of 90 if you're with us here on Saturday, then a low Saturday night of 64, and then Sunday, high of 91, low down to 66. A little bit of rain possibly early in the week, so just check that out, WGCLradio.com, all your weather, all the time.
Before we get into the big news, have you been up to see the Cubbies play recently?
We were there. We saw the no-hitter. We saw the Cole Hamels no-hitter game when the Phillies did that. So probably now almost 3 weeks ago, yeah.
Was that before all the Lafayette Bridge issues kicked in?
It was. It was, yeah. And we actually have another trip planned up there to go up again. So I would say 231. We're going to get as far up on 231 as we can and get to Crawfordsville and kind of go from there. But, yeah, boy, that's not pretty. Everything I read, there's the original bridge problems, and then there's been accidents and other things with that. So
I've been trying to follow it. I don't have any reason to go up there anytime soon, but I had friends down this past weekend that are getting married here in October, and we were meeting about the wedding, and they said it was just absolute disaster trying to get through. And so if you are headed up to the Lafayette area or the Chicago area, much like heading up to Martinsville or Indianapolis, plan your trip ahead. Give yourself some extra time as well, because it's definitely going to be needed for sure. In the local news, a couple things here talking about Monroe County. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has approved a disaster declaration for Monroe County as well as 52 other Indiana counties due to crop damage and losses caused by flooding and excessive rain since the first part of May this year. So what does that mean? Well, for farmers and other producers who have suffered losses in these 53 counties and contiguous counties. So we total 88, so pretty much the entire state of Indiana.
Yeah.
I think there's 92 counties.
You know, we're County 53, Jim, so that makes sense. That's a good way to remember.
There is the ability to obtain low-interest emergency loans through the Federal Office's Farm Services Agency. This came out on Wednesday evening. There's going to be more news about it, but according to Governor Mike Pence, who signed the designation, farms and counties all across the state have suffered because of the excessive rainfall we've experienced during our spring and summer months this year. And it absolutely has been a problem, and we'll see hopefully if that offers some resolution there. Dancing with the Stars, as I mentioned, Dancing with the Celebrities, last weekend took place here in Bloomington. David is the general manager of American Rental, and he won the dance portion of it, the Mirror Ball Trophy, and then he won the fundraising. See, that always didn't make sense to me, because you win the dancing part, thank you, Barbara, but I got the smaller trophy, but when you win the fundraising part, you got the Mirror Ball.
No one's bitter.
No, not at all, 6 years later. But
which one did you win?
I won the dancing part.
Well, once again, folks, YouTube, so, Jim Inman, Dancing with the Celebrities, Bloomington, Indiana.
And a Judge's Choice winner, that's the dancing part, went to Annie Corrigan, a producer for WFIU, who was dancing for Middleway House. David danced for Boys and Girls Clubs of Bloomington. They raised about $135,000.
Yeah, that's the big one. Regardless of who gets the trophy, That's the big news there. That is super. It's been a great program. And I heard Margaret talking about this earlier this week on Glass in the Morning, that they have now raised over $1 million in the time that they've been doing this program for a variety of – and it's not just for one organization. It depends on who the dancers are. And again, you know, every dancer, correct, gets to pick the organization that they work and raise money for.
And they do all the fundraising all different ways, but then once the costs are paid for the theater rental and musicians and things like that, any profit goes to the charities as well.
Great.
So it is it's a good thing. There's been a lot of social media about this, and I don't want to get too far in the weeds with it, but Spec Wild Horse Mellencamp was sentenced to a four-day jail sentence for the beating of another man in Bloomington. He is serving his time in 12-hour stints over 8 days, starting on August 10th and going through the 21st, with some time off in between.
For the weekends, I think. Is that right?
I think that's correct.
Oh, yeah. Makes total sense.
Yeah. And so it's just a little bit awkward. Apparently, there was a statement from board-certified psychiatrist Dr. Daniel Siegel, who said that Mr. Mellencamp has some panic disorder and some other medical concerns, and this is part of the treatment option. All I can say is I think there are a lot of people with some mental problems that probably don't get this treatment.
You're probably right.
And so I'm just going to leave it as to what the HT reported this week is. He reports in at 8 in the morning and leaves at 8 p.m.
Well, we're here to report the facts,
that's,
Jim.
That's and, what it is.
You know, every action has a consequence, and some of those consequences are positive, and some of those consequences are negative. And I think the only thing anyone really hopes for is fairness.
Yep.
And that's probably a good way to transition on to exciting stuff, such as the MCCSC referendum that an executive session on Tuesday with the board there and Dr. DeMuth, of course, talking about when the next referendum should be proposed and when it should go up for a vote. Currently, there's money with the past referendum. The school corporation gets about $7.5 million a year, and this is year five of that referendum that was passed in 2010, if I'm not mistaken on my dates.
Sounds about right. So
$7.5 million, it's about 12 cents per $100 of assessed property value. So, folks, it's an investment. You know, there's no other way around that. It's an investment. When people look at where they want to work and take that up a step, when people look at where they want to open business, they want to expand business, they want quality communities. And part of, you know, of course, you've got housing prices and you've got crime rate and you've got resources and all that. But a big part of that is the quality of the local schools. And, you know, I'm speaking from the trenches. Literally here, because at the WGCL studios, our chairs are faulty. But that's neither here nor there. But anyway, when we have that support, obviously we can do so much more. And that looks so different all over town and how that money is made, but or how that money's used. But a large part of that, of course, is people and that staff, and it allows us to keep class sizes at reasonable levels. That allows us to offer things. And I was talking about this with the kids the other day. You know, in middle school and all of our middle schools here in Bloomington, Jim, we teach Spanish, French, and Chinese. Kids have opportunities to take those languages that I know for certain many high schools around the state don't offer Chinese.
Right.
And many middle schools around the state don't offer French. And here we are with all those options, and now we're expanding those languages. The IB programs at Templeton, at University, at Childs, they're doing Spanish now at the lower levels, which we know is a good thing as well. We've got a thriving music program in all of our schools. And that is a result of the investment that the voters in Monroe County made for our public schools here in Bloomington and MCCSC last time this referendum went up. So, you know, thank you on behalf of all of us that benefit from that. And most importantly, thank you on behalf of the kids in our community that are benefiting from that decision that was made. And again, quite honestly, we're going to ask voters in the MCCSC catchment area to vote on this again coming up. And there's discussion right now as this executive committee meeting the other night was about, do we do this in May or do we do this in November? May, you've got a primary election, and the concern is if it's not a heated primary, do people come out? Well, listen, Monroe County's already got the lowest voter turnout in the state. So, you know, that's something I have to think about. If you do it in November, does it get lost on a presidential election? I don't know. The data says that that May referendums do well historically in Indiana. So that's not to say Novembers don't. That's just to say Mays do better. So, again, more will come of this. We'll get that information out in the next month or so about when that's going to go up for vote. And then we'll be hearing from some people that are going to try to continue to urge people to support public schools. It is an investment in our community. It's an investment in our kids. That's not a company line. That's the facts.
We got to take a break. When we come back, Vicki Pierce from Community Kitchen. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman and David Piller here with you, and excited to have a first-time guest on the show, the Executive Director of the Community Kitchen of Monroe County, Vicki Pierce, in the studio with us tonight. Vicki, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Good, good. Glad to have you aboard, and excited to tell our listeners about the Community Kitchen.
Yeah, we love first-time visitors, first-time guests as well. We've put her through the ringer. We've got her all prepped and ready to go, and she's survived that first part, Jim, so I think we've got a... Got a good one on our hands today.
You make it sound like it's an evil process.
Well, you know, there's a reason we don't have a webcam in here. There's a reason we don't do the video portion. It's part of it's my looks, but the rest of it is certainly what happens to our guests. So, anyway, hey Vicki, thanks for being here. For the listeners in the area that don't know, just if you could start us off and tell us a little bit about what Community Kitchen is and what you all do.
All right, thank you. I'm happy to be here. Community Kitchen is what most people would call a soup kitchen, although what I typically ask people to do is kind of conjure up whatever mental image soup kitchen creates for you and then get rid of it, because it's really, it's not bad soup and you know, stale bread and horrible coffee, which is what people tend to think of, and the people that we serve, you know, the homeless addict on the street is not... the bulk of the people that we serve. And so we really are about just providing food to people, anyone in need, in all of the ways that we can. We do that in several ways. One is that we have at our main facility at 1515 South Rogers, we have a dining room that's open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m. In that space, we serve dinner cafeteria style to anyone in need, no questions asked. We have a family dining room, so when folks need to come and bring their children, they can eat in a slightly more private space. They can sit around a round table and have more of a family style meal and do as best as they can with that if they don't want to sit at banquet tables with strangers. We have that meal, like I said, 6 days a week. People can come, they can have seconds or thirds, whatever they need. They can take a carry out meal with them if they need food for someone at home or the next day. We also have our express location, which is on the edge of the Crestmont neighborhood at 1100 West 11th Street. We call that Community Kitchen Express, and that's because there's no dining room. You're in and out. It's carryout facility only. We serve the same warm food that we serve in our main facility, but we serve it in a carryout style. So folks there can have a warm carryout. They can also have a cold carryout if they, again, need food for the next day or someone else. They come through. We get a lot of folks at Crestmont at that facility, Community Kitchen Express, who are seniors or children, a lot of kids actually who come through on their own in the evening. And so we're happy to be up there and provide that service more close for that neighborhood. That's really, those two programs really only are about 35% of what we do. Most of what we do is preparing food in-house and taking it out to people where they already are. Our big target for that is children. Several years ago, when I came to the kitchen, they had just kind of were taking on a new focus to kind of do some real outreach and intentional work with kids, low-income children in particular, getting the food to them where they were. So we have a couple of ways that we do that. One is our Feed Our Future program, where we work with all three local Boys and Girls Clubs, Girls Inc., Rhinos Youth Center, New Hope Family Shelter, Banneker from time to time, and just like the Rise at Middleway House, their child care program, places that already have the target population we're trying to reach. They've got kids in their programs, you know, kids in their programs till sometimes 6 or 7 in the evening, and they may have had lunch at 11:30.
And that's it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so we want to make sure that we're providing what we can for those kids. And so we work with those organizations, and we provide either a healthy snack, which might be an orange and milk or snack crackers and juice or whatever, or a sack lunch type meal that they can serve for kind of a supper, which would include a sandwich, fruit, a vegetable, and milk. And so we provide those to those agencies all year round.
And so you said it's for anyone in need. Is there any limitation as far as how often someone can take advantage of this service? Is there a time limit?
No, absolutely not. Our dining room, most soup kitchens in the country are what the government would consider presumed benefit, which means there's enough stigma attached to coming to a soup kitchen that if you're going to come and walk in the door and sit down and eat, we're going to presume that you would fall in our benefit category, mm-hmm. that you are in need. And again, we're providing a meal to someone, they're going to eat it. There's nothing they can take and barter or sell or, you know, whatever. And we want to make those barriers as low as possible. We know in the 11 years I've been there, I've seen it, our dining room go from a facility where we almost never had children to a facility where, especially in the summer, we could have 15 or 20 children a night. So the face of the people in need has changed, and it's more families with kids. And we want to make those barriers for people, individuals, and families as low as possible because everybody deserves to eat.
Yeah. We're talking with Vicki Pierce, the executive director of Community Kitchen here of Monroe County. Speaking of Monroe County, do you assist only residents of Monroe County, or you know, talking about the criteria, if you will, do people from surrounding areas come to Community Kitchen as well?
Occasionally, people from surrounding areas will come to the kitchen, but we do routine patron surveys because for some of our funding, we do have some government funding, and for that type of funding, we've got to provide demographic information. So we ask that information annually. And, you know, it's typically 2% or less of our people will tell us they live outside Monroe County. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, those are folks in Green or Brown County, sometimes Lawrence County, who work in Monroe County, and they come and they'll go to work and then they'll stop and eat before they head home or take carryouts. And so, you know, most of our folks are here. Our mission actually is to work to eliminate hunger in Monroe County and surrounding areas, but I think we're still focusing on Monroe County. Sure. We haven't reached the surrounding area focus yet.
Sure. So when someone comes to either of your facilities, but specifically the South Rogers facility, since you said that's where the dining room is, what's an average meal look like on an evening for folks?
An average meal is actually what I would call kind of hearty, stick to your ribs American fare. So our main entree will almost always have meat in it, but it will always have protein. So it's most often could be like, for instance, like a turkey noodle casserole. So there's going to be the protein in it. There's going to be probably some veggies in it, but there's also going to be oftentimes, you know, that starch, either potatoes or pasta or rice, because we're talking about folks who need some calories mm-hmm. and need some bulk, and it stretches out the protein as well. So we'll have that. We'll also have a vegetarian option. We have folks for whom conscience, but a lot of for whom it's a health reason that they need to be, they are vegetarian. And so we provide a vegetarian option. Then we have a side, which is almost always a vegetable. If the main is very vegetable heavy and no starch, then it might be potatoes. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, we're looking at, you know, green beans or you know, like today, zucchini and squash or, you know, whatever. And then salad and fruit and then desserts and, you know, mm-hmm. beverages, coffee, tea, water, juice. Whatever.
And as you said, this is a go back for seconds if you would like to.
Absolutely.
Well.
We serve cafeteria style on the old melamine lunch trays that probably the three of us remember, but
absolutely.
Most people younger than me have never seen before. Those things are crazy expensive as well. But, you know, they are durable. They last a long time. And, you know, people can come through if they need seconds or thirds. We want to make sure that when they leave us, they're not hungry. It's not just a minimal. Our staff does a really great job of stretching the food that we have and preparing for the quantity of people who are there. We never have to turn people away. We don't run out of food. We're really on top of that.
What do you ask people when they come and have dinner? What do you ask of anything in return from them before they leave for the evening?
We ask civility of them, and that's really about it. We have house rules, which I am very proud to say our folks do a really good job of adhering to and monitoring themselves. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, we have to get involved in something, but for the most part, we ask people to be respectful of other folks, to not curse, to not bring weapons in, to not, you know, to not mm-hmm. bug anybody. And so there's a real community atmosphere. It's a fairly safe place for people. Even people who are new are oftentimes surprised at how comfortable they can feel after they've been there a couple of minutes. Our staff has tremendous respect both for, you know, our patrons and our volunteers. And so it just creates this really nice community place where many of these folks would not intersect in any other place in the community. You know, we've got volunteers from all over the place, all different demographics in the community who are there, and they're standing across the line from the patrons who are almost always very appreciative of their service there.
Yeah, we've talked about this a little bit earlier, but Jim, we've been together now on this show for about 2 years.
Yes.
And Jim knows one thing I hate more than anything else is cold weather. And so I hate to even bring this up, but you know, we are a couple months away from the weather turning.
Yes.
How does the program change? How do your services change as the weather cools off?
Our services don't change. When weather gets very, very bad, obviously, sometimes we'll have lower days. We don't have as many patrons come to eat with us because if they've got some food and they can make it for a couple of days, or their choice is to walk a half mile in the ice when it's 5 degrees, they're not going to make that choice, and I don't want them to.
No.
You know, I will say in the 11 years I've been to the kitchen, I think we've closed twice for weather.
Wow.
So, you know, unless there's a state of emergency and it's illegal for us to be on the roads, or we've determined it's really dangerous for any of our staff to get there, we can get a bare bones staff there, and we want to be open. If people can get to us and they need us, we want to be there. So, you know, I would say for us, it doesn't change.
Yeah.
We're just there.
And you talk a little bit about people feeling comfortable with one another once they're there. There is probably a community atmosphere that starts to build. Do you do anything at the holidays special to kind of recognize that?
We do. First of all, we serve on the holidays.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, a lot of folks close, and I get that. I get the reason for both things. But we're always open on Thanksgiving. It's actually the highest volunteer day of the year. We will be full on Thanksgiving before November even hits, and we'll be turning people away. And we add volunteer activities for that day. So what often happens, and Christmas is kind of the same way, if it falls on a Sunday, then we don't serve because I let my staff have that day. It falls on a day they don't typically work. And we'll have our big Christmas dinner on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do the traditional holiday food at both holidays. What's really great is that typically at one or other of those two holidays, someone will show up and provide some music. So like one year at Christmas, this guy showed up with a big harp and played harp music in the dining room. And, you know, and sometimes they'll come and play holiday music. Sometimes it's just, you know, a little, you know, small three-piece band will just show up, or, you know, carolers or whatever. But it's just really great. And the folks who volunteer on those holidays typically are grateful for a place to be, because there are oftentimes people who are separated from family. They don't want to just sit home and be bummed.
Sure.
And so it just really creates this real festive situation for people who might not otherwise do anything holiday related, I guess.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, more with Vicki Pierce, the executive director of the Community Kitchen of Monroe County. She mentioned earlier talking about kids. We'll talk about the Backpack Buddies program. We'll talk about how local people can get involved as well with Community Kitchen. So stay with us. We'll be back in a couple minutes here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman and David Piller, and Vicki Pierce, the executive director of the Community Kitchen of Monroe County. Couldn't get the words out of my mouth there. And it's a great lesson of what you guys do and provide for folks in this community. Talking about the weather and everything, are there a variety of community partners that help assist the Community Kitchen in different ways?
We actually partner with a lot of organizations. I mentioned the youth programs that we partner with earlier. We partner with about, I think it's 10 or 11 different schools across both school systems. We partner. One of my favorite partnerships is a partnership that we have, a triangle partnership that we have with Stonebelt and Area 10. So Area 10 has some seniors that they had on a waiting list for food and nutrition programs. And so what we did is we came up with this situation where we provide meals for those homebound seniors, and Stonebelt clients do the delivery. So we have this three-way partnership. Area 10 handles all the casework and gets those people signed up. We do the food. Stonebelt folks who are looking for, you know, productive growing opportunities for those folks can come get the food and deliver it. It's been great. We have a very similar program that we do also as some Stonebelt and some folks from North Central Church of Christ who do delivery for us for our Nutrition Links program, which is a program for HIV positive folks who are low income and homebound as well. So, you know, we have a lot of just really great partnerships. We partner with the food bank for a lot of our food, the Hoosier Hills Food Bank. You know, we're just any or other organization that's really already serving a population we're trying to target, or in some way we can kind of benefit them as well as us, we try to reach out and do that.
When you talked about the demographics changing in the time that you've been there to include more children,
yes,
lots of awesome programs that you've got for kids, specifically targeting kids, Backpack Buddies. You know, I know, do it at Templeton and probably other schools as well. And then your role in summer school. And you know, as you mentioned, you know, during the break, that there is a longer school year now, or a longer year during the year, shorter summer. And there's a benefit to that because now kids can get back into school and get access to food. But in the summer, when they don't have regular access to food, you all step in.
Absolutely. We deliver breakfast or lunch to about 10 different low-income neighborhoods in the summer. Still continue to work with those youth programs. So those kids who are in clubs, we're already serving a lot of them. But we go into those neighborhoods where they have a very high free and reduced population, very high low-income population, and we just provide a breakfast or lunch. It's a sack breakfast or lunch, but we have volunteers who come in really early in the morning, get that ready, two vans that go out so that they get all of those neighborhoods covered. And we do anywhere from 9 to 12,000 of those in the summer.
Wow.
Just, you know, depending on how long the summer is and who, how many kids have moved in and out of neighborhoods, you know, there's a lot of transiency there. So, you know, it's really important to us to try to fill those gaps, which is where this program came from and where Backpack Buddies came from.
So what's Backpack Buddies look like for people that don't know that one?
So Backpack Buddies is a program through which we provide a backpack of weekend food supplies to low-income children who've been kind of identified by their school social workers as families who are in need of assistance. And so we provide this backpack of weekend food. It is very targeted to the kid, but it's designed to be for the entire family.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes home with them every Thursday or Friday of the school year, all year round, during while school is in session. And we shoot for about 8 pounds worth of food, but we make sure that there's a good assortment of protein, grains, easy to prepare food, make mm-hmm. sure there's breakfast items. We buy fresh fruit for that program. And so we're really happy about that. That program has grown to, like I said, it's depending on how you count the Edgewood schools, it's either 10 or 11 schools. And we ended the year with about 270 kids in that program. We are starting, this is only week, what, two of school?
Yeah.
We are starting backpacks this week. We just started this week with 150 kids already signed up. And so it's definitely a program that the community yeah. likes, the schools appreciate, and the families find really helpful.
We count Edgewood, don't we, Jim?
We absolutely do.
I thought we do.
Well, if you count them primary and intermediate as one school or two.
Right.
Depends on who I'm talking to.
We're talking with the executive director of the Community Kitchen of Bloomington, or Monroe County, Vicki Pierce. With all of these, there's obviously needs. You need volunteers. You need people to cook the food. You need money. I mean, what are the needs today?
The needs today are vegetables and money. And so we just came off the summer where we provided those meals because of the state requirements for reimbursement for some of those programs. We didn't get nearly as much reimbursement this summer for a lot of the meals that we did as we would like. So we're coming out of that heavy expense, lower income time. And the vegetable shelves have been, you know, pretty sparse for a while. We had a couple of good donations of corn and green beans in July, mm-hmm. but there are other vegetables. And so, you know, we like to make sure that we're providing that healthy food across the board in our programs. And so vegetables is a big food need. We always need volunteers. We're a pretty popular place to volunteer, but we use about 16 volunteers a day. And then on Backpack Buddies Day, we add another 6 or 7. And, you know, in the summer, we add additional volunteers. But, you know, we have volunteers from as young as 10 to as old as, I think she's 86.
Oh.
And across the income, you know, spectrum and mm-hmm. a lot of different folks. We had one volunteer with us all summer whose English is a second language. And this was part of her English class was to participate with us. And she was a great volunteer. It's just it's a big variety of people.
And if I want to go steal tomatoes off Mr. Pillar's tomato plants.
Bring them on.
Really?
Absolutely. We are happy.
I won't steal from you, David.
No, I mean.
Right. Just, you know, he's already tired. You won't notice.
Today is the day to do it. I cannot catch you.
He can't catch you.
So is there a donation size in vegetables? Because, again, there's a lot of people that have gardens out there with bumper tomato crops this year and cucumbers and mm-hmm. things like that. If someone brings in a dozen tomatoes, that's accepted? And
absolutely.
That's great to know.
It doesn't matter if you bring two or two dozen because yeah. there are other people just like you who are bringing two or two dozen, and we get enough. And either it's stuff that goes in the salad or it's stuff that they use to add extra nutrition to the main or it's stuff that we provide by itself. We'll take food donations all the time.
And how do you – when people want to drop food off like that, of course, like you said, they'll take anything, but specific like vegetables or fresh produce, how do you need that package? How would you prefer that dropped off? What's that look like for you?
You know, even if you pulled out of your garden and you didn't even wash it, that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, bring it on. We're there from 8, maybe 8:30, but almost always 8 o'clock in the morning. And there are staff there until 6:30 or almost 7 in the evening, cleaning up at the end of the night, 5 days a week. On Saturday, they're there after 11 o'clock. We take donations. It doesn't matter if it's 2 canned goods or, you know, or whatever.
A truckload.
Which
and you
would
want
be great.
These donations to the South Rogers location.
Absolutely, yeah. The other location, we're only there for 2 hours a day. So.
Okay, great.
And then what kind of events get the awareness out about Community Kitchen. I'm sure there are things that you guys do in the community to say, here's what we're doing and here's how you can help.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we do a couple of different things, I would say, you know, that kind of fall in a couple of different categories. One is that we go to things like some school open houses and Crestmont's, you know, National Night Out and places like that where we might encounter patrons who may not know what we do, people who need our services, and we want to get that out. And then we try to go to all the volunteer fairs. So Debbie's going tomorrow to the volunteer fair at Farmers Market, you know, and she'll do the one at IU and she'll do other volunteer fairs to make sure people know the volunteer mm-hmm. opportunities. And then we have fundraising events that are obviously both fundraising events and awareness events, because you do a fundraiser, you get people who come because of the event, not because of your mission. And while they're there, you make sure they get to know at least a little bit about what their dollars are doing. You know, they're there at the event to have fun, but the money you've given us is going to be used for this. And hey, Right. Did you know we do that as well?
Right. Okay.
Vicki, how about an online presence of social media, Facebook, website?
Absolutely. We're online. Our website is MonroeCommunityKitchen.com. We're on Facebook, Community Kitchen of Monroe County, and we're on Twitter at Monroe_CK. I do not tweet as often as I should, but I do it. And we're on Facebook. We like to post a lot of pictures of our volunteers on Facebook and program stuff so that people really get the human feel of what we do. I can spout off numbers. You know, last year we did 272,405 meals and snacks in the community. That's a big number. But people seeing hands-on what we're doing and that people are enjoying doing it and that people have a variety of skill and ability levels can really make a difference, I think is really impactful.
What have you seen in the biggest difference in your 10, 11 years of the Community Kitchen?
I would say the biggest difference, honestly, is that face of the people we serve. When I came 11 years ago, it was what people would have typically thought would be going to be served at a soup kitchen, middle-aged guys who, you know, were down on their luck or were unable to hold down a job. Maybe they had some substance issues. Maybe they were homeless. Now it is, you know, it is a mix of male and female people who are between jobs, people who for whom now we are part of their best plan. They're on a limited income, whether that's because of disability or because they've reached their earning potential or because they're seniors who are, you know, living on their Social Security. Their income picture is not looking much better. But if they eat with us, that frees up enough money to pay some of their other bills or mm-hmm. to buy the other supplemental things that they need. And so we're part of their best plan. And that was a real shift in thinking for me to get from that whole we're only for emergencies thing to, you know what? I think it's good if we're part of somebody's best plan. You know, mm-hmm. let's do what we do really well and help people continue to be as self-sufficient as they can in the rest of their lives.
It's one less thing for them to worry about.
Absolutely.
And that's such a huge deal when you're worrying about a lot of things.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so that's why we work to make it so comfortable for families with kids, because as a parent of 9-year-old boys, I'm grateful that I don't have to rely on a service like ours to feed my kids. But if I did, I would want that to be as comfortable as possible mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. I'm already going to have enough shame in having to do that for my kids, that I don't want to make it harder for families who really that's part of their best plan. And I know that the food we're providing is good for their kids, and it may be better than what they would be able to provide quality and nutrition wise.
So 1515 South Rogers, main drop off spot for the cafeteria style food that's served
Absolutely.
Every night, and then the primary donation drop off spot.
Absolutely. For any of our programs, that's where you want to bring it.
Fantastic. Okay.
We'll put all of this on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. So if anybody missed it, we will have it on there right away. Thank you again. Wonderful job. Really
thank you.
Appreciate it.
I think we're going to have her back, Jim.
I think so too. She made the top list, brother.
She did.
We'll be back in a couple minutes. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. All right, Mr. Pillar, we've got 3-ish minutes for sports.
Yeah, we're going to go 2-minute warning on everybody.
I'll send the beep.
It's the middle of August, so there isn't a ton going on right now. But a couple of things that are going on is that Kyle Schwarber and the Cubs keep hitting and keep playing well, and not gaining a whole lot of ground though, because the Cardinals are playing well and the Pirates are doing their thing. So anyway, fun stuff in Major League Baseball as we're getting to the heat of the summer, and we're now about. About 6-7 weeks away from the end of the season already. But the Reds are on the radio tonight. If you're with us on Friday night, 9:10 at the Los Angeles Dodgers. And we have an afternoon game for you tomorrow, Saturday the 15th, 4:10 Reds at Dodgers. Then we're taking Sunday off. But Monday and Tuesday, the American League's best team, the Kansas City Royals, are going to the Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati, 7:10 both nights. We'll have Reds here on the radio at WGCL. And, Jim, yes. We've talked about this already, but next week we go back to a half an hour because it is high school football season already. WGCO will be your home for local high school football. Columbus East, the Olympians, will visit the Cougs at Dennis Martin Stadium. And on the north side, we will have 6:30 Chalk Talk with Coach Scott Bless. But we'll be with you from 6 to 6:30 to get you warmed up. But we will we'll throw that lateral to Joe Smith, and he'll go deep with Scott Bless at 6:30. And then he'll have all the action in the Cougs. This week, if you're with us, on Friday tonight, the Cougs are at Avon, Bloomington South. The Panthers are at Lawrence Central for a scrimmage. We have an IHSA scrimmage, one game each year under some different rules. And so both Bloomington teams are on the road for those. And then Saturday morning, if you're with us, our good friend Brian Muehlhouse is hosting the Bloomington High School North Golf Scramble over at Cascade. So a great cause to help fund some scholarships and some other things going on at Bloomington High School North and within the golf program. All that's in kind of in the name of a former coach, an awesome all-around great guy, George Fielding. So good stuff that Brian does for the North golfers. And so it's that time of the year again. Football's going on. Mm-hmm. The kids are out on the streets for cross country. We've got boys tennis. We've got girls golf. We've got volleyball. So all of those things are going on. And we've talked about this before. Great local athletes participating, all of our Monroe County schools. It's cheap family entertainment. It's good stuff. If you've got young kids, get them out there. Get them over to South. Get them over to North. Get them to Edgewood. Get them to Lighthouse. Get them to everywhere that we have these athletic programs in our town. Support the student athletes. Get your kids excited about being part of something fun when they get off into high school.
And we've got Colts action on Sunday as well.
We've got all of the Colts games this season. We've got lots of NFL. We've got college games. And most importantly, we've got Super Bowl 50 right here on WGCL.
Colts play Philadelphia. Do you know what time the game is?
You know what? I have no idea. It's preseason. I'm not in that mode yet.
Okay. Check WGCLradio.com. We got all the schedule and sports action there. We're going to come back and wrap it up.
All right.
Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Just a couple minutes left in the show. Thanks again to Vicki Pierce from the Community Kitchen of Monroe County. We'll put all of her information on the podcast at WGCLradio.com. We'll also put it up at Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview, so check all of that stuff out. I think next week, Short Show Friday, is the lovely and talented lady from Bloomington, Julie Warren.
The Bloomington lady?
I think the Bloomington lady's on.
Oh, we love her. I didn't see her this week, but I haven't gone out for lunch, so why would I?
You know.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
It
so
is
I think
what it
she's
is.
On next week.
All right. Hey, if you're with us tonight, this evening partly cloudy. It's going to get down to 64. Open up the windows. It's perfect to sleep in. Saturday, sunny. High of 90. Low of 64 Saturday night. No rain. Sunday, high of 91. Low of 66. Again, no rain. I love that.
That's some swinging.
It is. It is some pretty vast temperatures, Jim, but we'll take it. It's all good. So, as always, all your weather all the time, WGCLradio.com.
Have you seen any students coming your way? Not the little kid students, but the 18 and older?
You know what I saw is I saw a BMW with a young person driving it with a parking ticket still behind the windshield wiper. I was like, yep, students are back. That, and of course, when you go into Kroger, and you know I'm 6'3", Jim.
Yes.
And when I turn to my left, and there are microwave ovens stacked higher than me, you know the students are coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a list there, Jim. You know you live in Bloomington, and the students are coming back when.
I was in Target this past weekend, and you had to make your way through the aisles between the mixers and the dorm size refrigerators, the futons, the papasans, all that stuff. So school starts up for them, I think, the 24th.
Yeah.
So a week from this coming Monday.
A week from this coming Monday, though, they are back. I mean, a lot of them are back already. But, folks, this week coming up is your campus move-in. So all those folks are going to be crowding into the dorms and all over campus. So just stay away from everywhere between 3rd Street and 17th Street.
And if you need to buy laundry detergent or something like that, maybe.
Bread.
Yeah, all of that. Anyway.
It'll get crazy.
They make Bloomington what it is.
That's right. We love them.
All right. You're out next week, I believe.
I don't know. It depends. I got to check the schedule.
All right. Well, hopefully you make it back. And I think Julie Warren's in the house next week in the house.
Yeah, Julie Warren.
I really said that. Everybody have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.